There is nothing more devastating than someone who is in what is they think to be the heart level state of consciousness, and it is the zealot's emotional, it's an emotive state where they are totally lost in a feeling state with no clarity. The Anahata is known to have great wisdom and great clarity in addition to the feeling, but not emotional feeling.
Well, of course, feeling, wisdom. Yes, I can conceive of that part.
Now, the attachment, it's the attachment that is the painful. I mean, the Buddha stated very clearly the cause of suffering is attachment. Attachment at one level, not sensing that there can be attachment. To me is the fear of loss and the pain and the ignorance of thinking there is a separation. In your illumination in 1936, what broke your painful 22-year cycle was the sudden realization that there was no separation between you and realization. What will break your pain and suffering in the loss of Gertrude will be your realization that there is no separation between you and Gertrude. Yeah. And this is what the essential teaching is in Buddha, Buddhistic thought, is that it is an apparency that we get involved with and we get lost in it over and over again. We keep thinking that there is a separation and we then attach and cling to. Now, your clinging to what has already passed is what creates your discomfort currently. As your memory starts to say, yes, and this person could do this for me, and so on and so forth, that is where the pain lies. Now, there is another whole level which can appreciate that there is no separation.
If I've had that, I had it for several days here when I was working on the transfer of these tapes.
And you
and
ended
the pain? We were fused together.
Exactly. This is the internalization process where you stop perceiving it as separate and you begin to hold it as your own energy. Therefore, yes, I know it would be very convenient to have somebody do all this for you, but you're in the process of fusing and stopping the partition or the separation. At least that's how I am seeing it currently. I know of no other way of breaking the illusion of the samsaric illusion is that there is separation from God, separation from each other, separation from loved ones, separation from what we think we need, and so on.
Well, I've had this sense of being very close together in a subtle way. Mm-hmm. It doesn't cover the outer field as effectively when she was present here, but in a subtle way is there. And I don't tend to draw up on others when I'm aware of that. But very strange yesterday, after I'd finished this, I had a nap. And I had a sense of the break connection then. And I sort of then warned them down here.
This may foreshadow, Dr. Wolf, your, I've elected to speak to you consciously so that you have all facets in front of your mind as you watch the process that you're in. I can only act as a mirror, and sometimes that mirror isn't necessarily a perfectly clear mirror.
Yeah, I know.
But what I see happening is, it strikes me very strongly that when you finish this piece of work, where you draw on the integrating energies in order to do it, then suddenly you're back into your, it's like the principle is withdrawn and you're left with the pain of separation, loneliness, dissolution, and so on. And if I project this pattern forward, I will say and predict that the chances are that you will utilize this particular technique to withdraw again your vital force. That when you do not have something that you can focus on, you then revert to the more emotional side of your consciousness. And therefore, this will be the pathway that you will take to remove your vital force. Each time you do that, it's a certain portion of your vital force escapes. And then there's a thing inside of you that says, then I must find it someplace, because the instinct to stay, instinctual area of staying alive then is getting activated. Then starts the pull or the draw. Therefore, you've had now enough experience to know how to use the principle of how to tap a deeper essence, which is, if it's through a piece of work, then continue on into the working areas. Whatever it is that gives you the sense of the fusion and the sense of empowering, the vitalization of your own beingness, which allows everyone else to do whatever they need to do. And at the same time, it's an energy that pours through you on out. The minute you stop that, and the minute you become the personal Franklin Wolf, then we get into the problem of the samsaric areas, the pain, the suffering, the heaviness of life, and so on and so forth. It's like as if you're being brought through various experiences very rapidly to see where is it, what is it inside your consciousness that creates the pain. Because it's not life that's creating the pain, it's something in you that creates this pain. And once you understand that you're in charge of whether or not you feel pain, or whether or not you transmute this whole thing into a much higher energy form, that is your particular task, not somebody else's. Each of us must bear this particular passage in an initiation. If we fall and flop back into our previous levels, then we simply have missed the opportunity of whatever is at hand. There's no blame, because there are other opportunities at other times, but you will have pain. There's no question about it. If you seek to surmount the pain, then you will have to do what the Buddha did. And that was that he sat there until he accomplished what he wanted. And until you accomplish the resolution of this pain inside of you, not through the reaching out of others, Buddha didn't do that. He accomplished it through an internal transmutation process. And the enlightenment and realization was, of course, the minute I exteriorize these things, I will feel separation and pain. The minute I own them all, they're inside of me, there's nothing. There's no force to create a sense of loss. There's no force to create a sense of pain and suffering, because there is no pain and suffering in the dimension, in the deepest dimension, or the vaster dimension of consciousness. It's as if the whole thing is seen as a totality. So I see once again, each of us are brought and tested, and the tempering, really the substance of our very essence is challenged. In these circumstances, the reason why when one reads about initiations over and over again, initiations aren't just happy celebrations. They're damn hard to go through.
Yeah. Of course, I know that in some of the earlier days when they were more physical, they had to go through physical combat.
Exactly.
It was really very dangerous.
And there's always the chance of falling. No matter the heights, Shankara may have touched the heights, but he fell.
Yeah.
There's always that chance. And it's as if it's being brought to your awareness, once again, what the challenge is. The challenge isn't to stay embodied. The challenge is to heal your pain through an internal process, and not do it through an externalization. This is the only way I know of bringing you into your awareness into the task and the magnitude of the task that you're involved with. Yes, you have a choice over this. You may choose to reject it. You may choose that you don't want to do it because of other reasons, and so on. I only function as a mirror to bring forward what is seen as an opportunity. Nothing more. But I must admit, Dr. Wolf, that you're not alone. This isn't just your particular process. It is many people in this time period right now who are involved with influencing large numbers of people who are being asked to deepen and to stretch their utmost, to draw upon the deepest resources to stabilize their consciousness, to bring through the greatest that they can bring through. We don't have time to, it's as if there's no, one can't smell the flowers right now. One has to pay attention to what's going on in a much vaster cycle of things. We're in an accelerated phase. There is not the time to play and the leisure that we had just 15 years ago, where it wouldn't have mattered whether or not you spend 18 months on this or not. It matters a great deal now whether or not you complete this within a certain period of time, because the timing of the plane is moving along so rapidly. I sense each of us are being asked to clear certain areas. Now, my own impression is that the earth plane is being impregnated with a very powerful energy that is neutral, that is capable of transporting and literally lifting the consciousness of the plane. But it's a neutral force, and whatever the penchant of the psyche is, as the energy comes in, that area will be magnified greatly. Okay? If your attitude and pension in this time period coming up is into the loss and the remorse and the grief and the sadness and the pain and the heaviness, it will be vastly intensified by this energy. If you will take the time to balance your forces, if you will find that still point as you reach and search for your deepest essence, the energy can pass in and your experience will be transcending. People who are involved with negative action will be intensified in the negative action. People who are involved with what is known as the positive action are going to be intensified in positive action right now. People who are working and seeking that balance, that thing that you discussed on the tape, which has to do with finding that clear space where one isn't pulled in one way or another, where you're holding and seeing something that you can't see if you're in either one of them, will be intensified within that momentum. So the choice is ours, but we must bear the responsibility of our own choices. And you cannot point a finger at anybody but yourself if you happen to manifest deep pain and deep suffering. That is your choice on some level, because you have an option. And the option is the initiation. It depends on where you are in the deepest philosophical value of your consciousness, where you are in the very essence of what you conceive yourself as being, and touching upon that and bringing it forth in these moments. Otherwise, you will flop literally into the quicksand of the emotional level of consciousness. It is one level, I can look at it and say, it is incredibly, it is almost a tragedy that this is being brought forth at this point in your life when your physical forces are not at their peak. And yet, over and over again, the story of mastery is one is never brought forward to something when they're at their peak. It's when they're at their most vulnerable time period that they're asked to reach for their resources. It's as if you won't do it at any other time. If the pain has to get more for you before you reach for your resources, then the pain will get more. Whatever it is, it will drive you, literally. You will be driven to but one conclusion, and that is, how does one eliminate the suffering? And it may be through death. But I really feel that you will see it through the process of incorporating that which you think is gone. It is only an apparency in consciousness. And we can say, but an apparency is a very real thing. Yes, and that's the samsaric state. The samsaric state thinks that it's the only real state there is, and everything else, when you're in it, everything else is but a dream. Well, you know better. You know from your own experience that there are dimensions and reaches of consciousness where the samsaric is seen as a dream also. And somehow, you're being asked in a very difficult way, not an easy path at all, and you've never chosen the easy path anyway. Somehow you're being asked to draw upon your deepest reserves and your integrating capacity. Now whether or not this means the heart level is unconcerning to me. My concern is that you have the option of capstoning this life into a state of illumination and serenity where you are at peace in a sublime state of consciousness versus the remorse, pain, suffering, heavy burden state where you feel as if life has deserved you. And you have that choice. It isn't made by a God upstairs. It's made by you.
Well, I'm out of it when I'm productive.
Yes, and when you're involved with the greater vision, which is really what's sustaining your life at this particular time period. The minute you step out of your greater vision, then your life forces immediately start to drain and wax and wane. The question isn't to keep you embodied, Dr. Wolf. The question is whether or not you can reach your balance incarnated, whether or not you can reach a supreme state of serenity before you cross in. Otherwise, I know from the deepest level of my resources that you will incarnate again because you failed to balance in this time period. Everything is being brought forward to you to balance. You couldn't have, it's as if some contractual agreements all bring it to your awareness, you sit and weigh it, and you have an opportunity. Yes, it means a reaching, a stretching, an opening of doors that haven't been opened for millennia inside your consciousness. But then again, that's what enlightenment and illumination is all about. I really feel that and it isn't the path of the desert and this terribly painful, isolated state. It is one where you come into a realization of an at-one-ment, or an atonement. An at-one-ment is the process of being anywhere perfectly content because there is nothing to be done. You essentially have completed it, including the process of resolving the feeling, the apparent feeling of loss, even in the physical, corporeal levels of your consciousness. Somehow, this time period is meant for you to enter a state of serenity and sublime serenity. And you will cross in. You have the option of either crossing in very painfully, which is because of the weight of the burden of age and many other things, or transcending all of that, vitalizing your body with another whole presence, which is a portion of the monad that hasn't yet come into your physical form, which allows you to complete whatever remains, and it won't make any difference whether it's 2 days or whether it's several years, allows you to complete your life in a state of serenity and not this constant turmoil that you've been in. It's your option. This is coming through. This energy that I'm utilizing right now is the energy of the Indian Buddhist who took the energy on into Tibet. Because I can feel the presence of what is being said and why it's being said right now at this particular point. So I'm simply, there's a time where you can no longer give yourself the luxury anything but paying attention to what is asked. It's the demand of the time that's presenting this rather than anything else. I don't know whether that made sense, but it's the timing of what's happening in the plane, the timing of your own soulic evolution, that you have this particular opportunity. You had perceived it because of the loss initially as the path that you could not reach for because you didn't feel that you had the resources. That was you in a personality level state of consciousness. When you're in your expanded states, when you're beginning to touch the collective levels of energy, that's the last concern that you would have, that you don't have the resources or the energy or whatever. The state of sublime serenity is not a personal energy. It is a collective energy that infuses the whole body and the whole state of consciousness. You are put at rest, incarnated. That is the potential open to you. But it means you must finish with the illusion of grief. In other words, you must work it all the way through. It doesn't mean rejecting grief or repressing grief. It means you transmute it because you see it for what it is. You see it because it is merely a perspective in the myriad of states of awareness that we can touch. And it's up to you to somehow find a focus that can incorporate this area with everything else. Once it's incorporated, not only does the suffering cease, and the pain, and the feeling of heaviness and tired, but you may go into natural sleep instead of a form of sleep that never gives you rest. Your state of serenity then becomes pervasive, and you once again channel your essential energy. Otherwise, I can't see how you can complete what I know to be your deeper subconscious desire and conscious desire, and that is to go in and reach the clear light and not be pulled into any other direction. If you can only sense the amount of pull that you're already entrapped in from the standpoint of the loss of Gertrude, you're involved with an energy, a seduction energy. It must be honored, but, and this is paradoxical, it must be honored and yet it must be transmuted. You have the right to transmute it through your illumination in 1936. Life then ceases to be a burden. It ceases to be a simple wonderment. And you pass awarely through the death process. At the present time, you're not ready to pass awarely through the death process. And this is what I sense you're moving towards. And why people don't understand why you have worked on this dream over and over again. Why you have reworked the aspect of the deaths all the way from Sharifa. And although you don't talk about Jim, Jim was a process of working through also. There is a process so deep here that you are working and reworking in your consciousness, honing, moving closer and closer to the essence of these things. Most people, you know, think are sort of bored with the material, saying, I've heard it over and over again, and it's so powerful that you could listen to it 1,000 times and still not get the full impact of it. It's like that dream. Every time I hear you discuss that dream, I see a deeper facet of it. It's that kind of a dream. Robert Johnson had a dream that was 25 years old that he still hadn't seen a certain sequence and understanding it, even though he had worked on it for over 25 years to understand all of the implications of the dream. And it was only when he came to the ranch, which he did not too long ago, that Carolyn and I took him in to show him what certain segments of that dream potentially could mean, and of course he immediately saw it once it was reflected.
Nothing about.
So these are not insignificant. They are terribly profound. You're working on one of the most profound areas that one can possibly touch upon, which is the resolution of the death space in all of its aspects, including that which we label as grief, and the sense of loss and separation. Now, in the states of consciousness that you have direct experience in, not out of hearsay and not out of writing, you know the resolution to this. The question is whether or not you can open to the energy of resolution rather than continuing to rework the problem.
This is all down, isn't it?
Yes, it should be on tape, Dr. Wolf. So those were the two areas that I particularly felt. One was the beginning one that I discussed when I asked Jim to leave, and the other was to touch upon this.
Any news in the mail?
Oh, goodness, they sent the book up.
Oh, good.
What is it?
It's the galley of the book. I didn't ask them to do that, Dr. Wolf. Apparently, the publisher of my book has sent the galley.
Oh.
This is the book called Joy's Way, and this is the...
I see.
This is the book.
And we've got it before it's published.
Yes, you were given a copy. I didn't mean for them to do that, but I'm delighted that they did anyway. Let's see what they said. He says, encloses a Xerox of this book, forthcoming, called Joy's Way, which we will publish in February of 1979. We asked Dr. Joy for the names of people to whom we might send the book. I didn't put you on this list, so he sent it because you're mentioned in the book. I used your quotation, ponderability, and gave you credit for that. And also, I think I discussed and gave the titles of your two books in this book. We believe that Brew's book is he's just talking about an extraordinary document, both as a biography of a man in transformation and as a description of transformative processes, and are excited to be offering these ideas to the public. We hope that you will share our feeling and that you will be able to find the time to read the book and to send us a brief comment for our use and so on. When the book is completed, we will, of course, be sending you a finished copy and so on. Anyway,
I'm delighted.
I'm delighted that you got it, but I was hoping to have a finished copy.
When did that come through the mail?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the letter that I'm arriving yesterday finally came too from the ranch, huh?
No.
So when do you pick up your mail? On Fridays and Tuesdays and Fridays?
Yes, that has been the rule in the past. They have to have it better distributed on Tuesday than on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Also groceries, there have to be stale groceries from the week before, you know, so Tuesday they have a new supply in, and Friday is before the crowd that gets in on Saturday.
Uh-huh.
So we followed that rule, it's most convenient.
Uh-huh.
Well, if I get on work, I haven't been able to get away from this problem onto others as yet. In its various ramifications, it's the problem of death.
And it's the problem of the seduction of the separatist area of consciousness, that which divides and perceives as separate, someplace within our image-making machinery and conceptual framework, is this ability to conceive and feel as if we are separate. This creates the pain. In the Tibetan Book of the Dead, and it's interesting because I often have had the feeling since I brought that up to start to read to you, that you got so enraged with the idea that somebody was going to read to you the Tibetan Book of the Dead and you weren't ready to die yet, that you gathered your energy sources and went on to do what you need to do. But over and over again, it discusses balance, finding the balance point, because the demon is the thing that seduces us. And there are many forms of the demon, and I feel that the demon of the apparent separation is what seduces us in the pain of death. I think it's also what keeps us from being able to move back and forth between the planes and having to use an intermediary constantly. Babaji, whoever Babaji was, and I don't know this as an experience, I only know it through the writings of Paramahansa Yogananda in his autobiography of a yogi, where he states that Babaji had the ability, of course, to translate and to incarnate, to manifest a physical form at will, and therefore to pass from the various planes.
He apparently had lived 1,000 years.
There are two Americans that I ran across that reportedly state that I don't trust this. There's something inside of me, knowing the two people, that have a deep desire for specialness, in their reporting to me that they had an experience with Babaji in the Himalayas. I honor the fact that it could have happened to them, but I also know that in their recesses of consciousness is an area of wanting to be separate and special. Therefore, I think there's more of a concoction here than an actual event, or perhaps an hallucinatory experience rather than an actual event, because of the desire pattern rather than a direct experience. That's my intuition. It may be wrong, but I find Babaji represents in my consciousness that ability where the separation of the idea of the physical and non-physical has disappeared. It's no more than a simple thought of manifesting a form and a simple thought of not manifesting a form.
Yeah. I remember one incident there. One of his chelas had died. He took immediate incarnation. And then when he'd reached the appropriate age, Babaji had called him. And circumstances brought them together again. And he pointed out that there was your cave. I kept care of it during this time. Mm-hmm. It's yours to use now again.
Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah, that was in that book.
Yes, I think it was, come to think of it.
Yes, he'd care for the cave. And when the chap came back into incarnation and reached the right age, he called it to him.
Mm-hmm.
And they went on with their work.
Well, the struggle here is how to honor all aspects. For the easiest thing to do would be to sublimate the pain and push it away as you move towards some other object, to occupy yourself with some other task. But that isn't the same as the transmutation, and that is like a denial process that goes to another compartment where the pain doesn't exist. I really feel that what we're talking about here is a much deeper analysis of integration, which has to do with not denial and partitioning, but how to let that, instead of energizing, it simply is a potential that then rests back into potentiality rather than manifested aspect. Therefore, it doesn't deny it, it simply doesn't energize it either. And it allows one then to pass through without being pulled or seduced. It would be like in the Tibetan Book of the Dead, if you were to pass in right now, and if there were, on the astral levels, a shell of Gertrude, you would never get to your goal of the clear light, because you would be seduced by the demon, in this case, Gertrude. You would be so overwhelmed and so attached that you would immediately move toward it, and you would have lost, you would never get through the gamut of the various seductions to get to the clear light. It's a very simple, direct statement. You would never get to the clear light because you would be seduced by the shell called Gertrude. You must incorporate that within your own beingness, that Gertrude and you are not separate, so that when you see a shell of it, you're not seduced by it. It doesn't pull you away from where you're heading for, which is the balance point. I don't know how else to put it. It is the mistake that is made over and over again on passing in, or it's the mistake that we make in life over and over again when we get seduced or somehow intimidated or somehow influenced by something that doesn't really have that much intensity. And that can only come through a direct experience of knowing the difference.
Between the shell and the reality.
Exactly. The essence versus the thought forms. These are the real demons. Not the tremendously distorted characters that we draw. Those are relatively easy to pass through because we... A certain level of sophistication simply gives you exactly where those are and what they are. The hard ones to get through are the ones where we still don't recognize the illusion. Those are much more difficult. These were the original page from last time.
Last time.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, I think you'll have fun. The book is very powerful in certain sections. I think it's an essential statement of where I was 2 years ago.
They're so long getting those glasses. I can read then. Otherwise, I have to use a magnifying glass on it. And that's a little difficult because it slows you down to the point where it's not good for assimilation.
Yes, and this is a Xerox, so it's not going to be as clear as it would ordinarily be.
Let me look at it. No, I have material to go through, and I do have glasses.
Mm-hmm. Can you? Because you see, you'll be reading double columns because this is a galley.
Yeah, I realize. Yes, I know what that is. Yes, I can see it here, but now moving that way, you're slowed down too much, too slow for proper assimilation.
I wonder if you couldn't get a larger reading glass, Dr. Wolf.
Well, I do have a larger one, not powerful enough.
One that is even more powerful, where you can look at a whole page without having to move that magnifying glass.
But just as soon as he can report that, well, I'll be having glasses.
Yeah.
And I was able to read newspaper print through his combination there without any difficulty.
Good.
But the problem may be on getting driver's license. He said you can get conditional licenses for restricted use.
It would be daytime.
Oh, yes. Well, daytime. For some years, I've avoided night driving from choice. So that'd be no hardship. But they're taking too long.
Well, sometimes you have to prod them.
I stopped in the office the other day, but they just have to depend on when it comes in the mail from wherever it comes from.
You check?
Yeah, when Jean and I went up to Bishop, I went in and checked with her, but she didn't have it, so.
I'm there. That a woman had to bear 10 or 12 children in order just to maintain the population.
Yes.
And that requires a vital surplus in order to do that as compared to the male.
And usually, because there's much greater risk of childbearing, the woman's life span was foreshortened. It was shortened because of childbearing.
Now she lives longer. Now suppose that she is a virgin. Wouldn't that meet result in an unused anabolic surplus that might be a burden?
Yes. Yes. There are studies that deal with the nuns trying to find out the life expectancy of a nun versus a married woman. There is something about the life expectancy of a married versus a non-married person that is extended. There is some vitalization that takes place. Of course, there's less...
See, Gertrude was a virgin. She died a virgin.
The energy is... It depends on whether or not they integrate, on whether or not they're lonely. A sense of well-beingness is what allows the body to flourish and to sustain. A sense of depression, a sense of any of these things, begin the catabolic process within the body and the mind. They're synchronous. The only reason why I'm pausing here is because I don't know the exact statistics of what the study showed as far as the nuns and also the men who had gone into the monastic.
Yes, I was wondering about that. This is a new field of inquiry.
It wasn't that the potential of the life of the person wasn't there. For there were many examples of people who lived into their 80s and 90s in even the Roman era.
Well, a few, yes.
So the potential was always there. The problem was that we were ravaged with disease.
Yeah.
And now it wasn't even malnutrition because we had the best that organic food, as I've told Jim, you know, they had only organic food at that time. It didn't seem to save them from dying off.
Well, how about inorganic food?
Well, I won't get into that because that's not my area.
Oh. Thank you. We picked on Jim enough last time, Dr. Wolf. We really shouldn't pick on him again this
pick
time.
Pick on you.
Right.
Pick on him.
Gertrude seemed to think that she had received all the benefits. And I couldn't tell her that the other way around. She made it possible for me to produce. She had her opportunities to marry, but she set her standards and she wouldn't compromise.
She wasn't meant to. The standards and the non-compromising is merely the part of the plan as it came forth. She entered knowing at some time that she was to complete. The reason why she was so deeply grateful and appreciative was that she knew her life was moving towards what you offered her at some point. So it was, when she said it, from her context and her consciousness, there was no question that she benefited unbelievably. And there's no question that you benefited.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes. Most beloved disciple. And Buddha had one. The fact that he was masculine or feminine is immaterial.
Not from an unconditional state.
Ananda. Sankara had Padmapada. Christ had St. John.
Padma Pada Was he the Indian then that moved forward up into, where did he go?
I don't know what his later history was. He got the name from, this is the story. Shankar was on one side of the river and he on the other, and he told Shankar, Padmapada, to come across. Mm-hmm. And he did it. And he walked on the water, and mm-hmm. a lotus appeared wherever he stepped. Now mm-hmm. that's a story. Mm-hmm. I don't know, you can't always take the Indian writing literally.
No.
Part of it will be literal fact, and other parts will be symbolic, and they mix them up so that it's a little hard to separate.
Then, of course, when the yogic powers are fully developed, it's not inconceivable. So it's one of these darn things where you just simply have to wait until you have an experience yourself to be able to appreciate whether or not it was real or not real. I think eventually, Dr. Wolf, we will learn. Mankind will learn how to capture time and space, because that moment is still ongoing. It hasn't disappeared. It's gone. It's maybe in a very subtle form, but it's still manifesting. And we will eventually learn how to tune in like a radio frequency to that time-space reality, yeah, and know exactly what was said.
What was going on.
I mean, it'll be far more interesting than television or a movie. We simply will tune in on the life and see what was real. I think this is where mankind will undergo an unbelievable, when that happens, we'll undergo a revolution in thought, because suddenly we will see how we tend to romanticize and alter the facts of what actually was.
Yeah.
What have you got here?